Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this episode is Cues of the Force. Yes, quizzes of the Force. No, it's questions of the Force. Eventually, we will run out of fake cue words and just admit the Q stands for questions. Always, I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
We're not there yet, though. I'm going to quiz myself and give you all the answers.
It is great to be here talking questions. We've got some great ones from listeners as always. Before we get into that, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are continuing to recommend Padawan by Kirsten White, a young Obi-Wan adventure. We keep recommending it to remind ourselves to read it. You are probably ahead of us, but if you're not and you want to check out this book and listen to it, you can download a free audiobook version today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free Obi-Wan Kenobi audiobook or any other audiobook. All right, Ken, are you ready for some Star Wars questions?
I am. We have some fun ones today.
We really do. We have two from Twitter and two from our patrons on Patreon. As always, we go first to Twitter and Philillis Skywalker. The question is, what if Rey read on Luke's notes that he and Lando buried a couple on Neftali and then connected the dots? Would you like to see Ray finding out more information about her parents? Ken, this is not only a great question, but this one also doubles as another audiobook recommendation.
Yes, it does.
If you're like, Neftali, what's going on? We strongly suggest checking out the book Shadow of the Sith. This is a Luke and Lando adventure. Mild spoilers if you haven't read it. Luke and Lando interact with, get close to interacting with Rey's parents. Their stories become intertwined. And it's this great bittersweet thing where we know so much more about the connection than the characters do at the time. So we have this wonderful question of, do you think that Rey connected those dots? And do you want to see those stories of finding out what Luke and Lando knew about the last moments and their interactions with Rey's parents? So do you want to see that, Ken? And if so, how? And how do you imagine Rey finding out?
Yeah, I short answer. Yeah, I do want to see it. I will start here. I say, you know, if this happens during the course of her journey as we know it, it might hold her back a little bit. And I'm not here to say I would want to willingly keep that important information from her, right? Like, if she wants it, she might be owed it. But the way in which she discovers the information and the way she doesn't have it, I think it's important because she needs to go forward. And that's a big thing. And that I do feel that might have held her back in some way, knowing they're dead might free her up for more things, so you can go different directions with it, I suppose. But I think it was really important for her to move forward, and she got that. But I do believe the information should come to her. I would love the idea of her digging in and finding out more and being able to, even in this post-Rise of Skywalker world, communicate with Luke a little bit about it and find out how much he knew and just kind of he can provide her any kind of peace after she's already established as who she is. I don't think it changes Rey Skywalker or anything of that. And I don't know if it's a movie plot or a subplot, but it seems like a great introspective novel, right? Part of Rey building the future. One of the things I love about those E.K. Johnston Padme novels, they're just kind of, you get to spend time with these characters and there's less bigger plot machinations. There's important things going on, but you're focusing on what's going on inside their souls and their heads and their hearts. So I would like that. Rey learning a little bit more about who she is or who she was, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, I really love that too. You know, I would love some more Rey Skywalker storytelling moving forward. You know, there is that whole question of, yeah, maybe it would be just better to be patient and wait a few years until the stars align. There is the generation that grew up with the sequel trilogy is really excited about it and overpowers the voices of negativity, you know, and Daisy Ridley's ready to get back in the saddle. And I understand that. I think that there is a little hesitation to do a lot of storytelling in books and comics moving forward from Rise of Skywalker because you don't want to cut off what, you know, stories on screen might be told. So I think we're in this sort of like, I kind of want Rey Skywalker stories right now, but I also understand why maybe there's a little being slow about it right now. But I agree with you. I think this would be a wonderful story for a book or a comic to kind of flesh out and just spend time with Rey going through that journey, processing her past. And I think to the specific question of, you know, what if Luke wrote it down in his notes, right? I kind of have this headcanon that from what we see in Rise of Skywalker, that Luke's notes are, you know, much more about the sort of esoteric Jedi Sith artifacts. And Rey knows that he was on a mission and knows what he's on a mission. But I feel like it's less a personal diary and more like a bullet point of like Jedi stuff to learn and do. You know, and this kind of bullet point of like, we were after this Wayfinder. It does feel important. I did feel the shadow of the Sith, you know. But even if those sort of like details aren't in any of those books that Rey is reading, I kind of like this idea that maybe in Luke's jotted notes from this adventure, there are some hints of things that unlock memories that Rey is repressing. Because something I really appreciate about Rise of Skywalker, that Rey does remember more than she is telling, and it's starting to eat at her, the confusion and the pain of those memories, and Kylo is poking at them so much until they come to light. And it's a fun additional thought of like, is there something in Luke's notes that, you know, it echoes out and is haunting her a little bit? And maybe that's, you know, one of the reasons that a little bit of tension is building in her.
Yeah. And how that could possibly lead to some sort of healing going back to that trauma. And because she's old enough in those adventures, I would say, in Shadow of the Sith, where, yeah, she could maybe have more, you know, solid memories. And there's probably a lot of good things buried in there, too. And that could be part of it, digging through the pain to find what's there and what is good and what is you. What makes you, you know, who you are as well from your parents. You can't deny that. And so she might learn some powerful stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I feel like that would just really complement the journey that she goes on in Rise of Skywalker, you know? Mm-hmm. I also feel like there's, to me, this story with Luke, that once he became one with the Force, he probably saw and understood, you know, a lot of things.
Yeah.
But in particular, kind of would be able to put together all of the pieces of Rey's past. You know, obviously he's aware that she is a Palpatine. So that cast Luke in this really interesting role to me, where much like his mentor, Obi-Wan, he's kind of waiting for cues from Rey of the right time and place to discuss things with Rey, right? Mm-hmm. The way that Rise of Skywalker conversation is structured, right? He doesn't pop out, catch a lightsaber and go, I have a list of things to tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
He asks her questions, right? He says, it was fear that kept me on this island. You know, what are you most afraid of? And then she says, myself. So she opens the door for the direction the conversation is going to go, right?
Yeah.
If she said, my greatest fear is that my parents didn't love me, maybe he'd be like, they did. Let me tell you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's an excellent point, too. Her driving the needs and her connecting honestly with what is what the cracks are in her soul might be a pretty important part of that there, too. And I think the reason I think I do want her to find this information is kind of what you just said. It was good. It was positive beneath the tragedy. And that's life. And if she can connect to that, and especially if she's moving forward and building maybe a new Jedi Order or trying to find other people out there, or just trying to continue to discover who she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so I feel like, you know, Luke would definitely have this conversation with her when the time is right, you know, when she is sort of asking him for the information. Lando is the one who might be like, they might just be, you know, shooting the breeze and suddenly like, hey, wait, you know.
You know, it's great Luke thoughts here, but that would be Lando and Rey having interactions would be a very fun conversation, especially if he was like, you know, I've been spending all this time with Janna, helping her discover who she is, going around the galaxy trying to reunite folks. Hey, I have some information for you.
Yeah, Lando's just going around asking everybody at the Resistance camp, like, so where are you from? Jakku, wait. I'm not sure what you think about this, so I'm curious. I also kind of have the headcanon at the end of Rise of Skywalker. We see the wonderful scene of Rey going to the Lars homestead, bearing the sabers, igniting her own. I have this headcanon that's part of a larger pilgrimage in that we're seeing this vital part to wrap up the story of the Skywalker saga and the story of Rey and the story of the sequel trilogy. But in my mind, she doesn't just hop on the Falcon with BB-8 and go, I got one stop. Mm-hmm. I like this idea that she goes on a larger pilgrimage and maybe even trying to find her parents' gravesite is even, you know, a part of that. How do you feel about that, about the possibility that we're only seeing a part of this pilgrimage?
I 100% agree. Yeah, I think if I'm pitching a novel, this is what it would be. This is part of what we're talking about. I think there's a lot of places to go. Things she is trying to learn about the galaxy, stuff she's trying to learn about herself. I even see possibly, I know she wanted to leave there, and that was part of her journey, but going to Jakku and reconciling with some of the stuff there. I don't know, maybe even hanging out with Unkar Plot and have a drink. I don't know. Whatever she wants to do, whatever she feels she needs as part of her journey. Could be valuable. And I'm with you. Whether that's the end or whether that launches the journey. I think personally I'm partial to Tatooine launches the journey, but I'm with you on that.
Me too, because that's the step of, you know, claiming her name with the clear approval of Luke and Leia is really powerful.
She's going on a live podcast tour.
I also like the idea that, and this is a little bit of a joke, but that her first Jedi mission is like, okay, Jedi, they go around the galaxy righting wrongs. Sometimes they're proactive about it, but often they just wait. But that's one of the questions of the new Jedi Order. Should we be more proactive? And her first Jedi mission is like, you know, going to Jakku and like, Unkar Plot.
Right.
Your business practice is immoral. Like, people need to eat. You can't hoard resources.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. A sit-down, come to Jesus or whatever the equivalent is in Star Wars conversation.
Come to Jedi, yeah. Come to Jedi. Great question with lots of fun headcanon. Big answer. Man, yes, we would love to see those dots connected someday, somehow. We move from a question about Rey to a question from a Rey. Rey Hernandez always sends us great questions. This is another fun one. Rey Hernandez says, you can only choose one as a pet. Porg, Bogling, Tuca / Lothcat, Volptices, Quackian Monkey Lizard. I'm a dog person, but would probably choose the Tuca Lothcat. Extra silly choice, Puffer Pig. So this is a challenge to me, Ken, of being realistic. Which one sounds fun to have a pet is a pet, and which one you would actually practically want as a pet. So where do you go with this?
Yeah, first of all, let me address the puffer pig in the room. Infamously been against the puffer pigs. Come around on them a little bit, as often is the case with Star Wars fans. Just give it some time. I was reading, they have that Halcyon cruiser comic series that takes place on the Halcyon. The cruise line, and the Padme Anakin one has them kind of doing some, lack of a better term, like a romantic sightseeing kind of trip. And they run into puffer pigs, and one puffs up. It's just one frame. And I actually smiled. Like, okay, we can be good with puffer pigs. I'm happy they're in the galaxy. But I wouldn't have one as a pet. The Volptices, that's possible, but I, because I'm a big dog person, but I worry about the cuddling, right?
Yeah, the cuddling, it would be turned into with a T, right? The cuddling.
Cuddling. Good point. Almost a pun. Play on words. You and I fight against that sometimes. No, I love it. yeah, because I just think of it, you know, Finn, where are those crystal critters? Like, that's what they are. They're crystal. That could be sharp. But I love those creatures. I think the answer for me, Joseph, is Porg. It has to be Porg because... and I've had birds before as pets. They're a little work. They're more work than you think there, but I do love them. They're interesting creatures. But I think you can communicate with porgs. I think you can hang out with them. I think with time and training, you could have a real good buddy, a co-pilot who doesn't fly but can keep you company. I'm not saying they're going to learn words, or as my dad did, he taught one of our birds to whistle the Andy Griffith theme. That was great 20 times a day. Just the opening cue. So I think Porg, man. I think Chewie proved this, that you can adjust, grow, and hang out with porgs.
The next time you see Ron Howard in the smokehouse, you got to run up to him and tell him, my dad taught a bird. Yeah, man, you might be changing my mind. This is so good. I was running down which ones I would, you know, comedy claim I want on a podcast and then go, all right, but let's be real, right? I love the Volptices. So part of me was like, yeah, I like dogs. I'd love a Volptex. But the jangling of their crystals would drive me bonkers. It's gotten worse as I get older when I'm trying to concentrate on one bit of writing. And then there's just like some noise. It's not even a disruptive noise. It's just another thing that your mind could go to instead of the word you're trying to remember. And that's what a Volptex is. A Volptex to me is a distraction from the ability to complete a thought.
Yes.
So that's a sad no for me.
Did you get the script from Joseph? One of the lines says, and then we crystals are jingling. That's just, you just put it weirdly in the script. I don't know why.
It really is jangle, 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 jangle. Yeah. I'd be scrawling on the walls, you know?
Yeah.
All jangle and no play makes Joseph a dull boy. Yeah, so I can't do that. I want to say Quacking Monkey Lizard because they might be one of my favorite creatures, characters in Star Wars. But they have so much personality, so much awareness. I don't feel like a Quacking Monkey Lizard is a pet. I feel like that is a roommate.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's yeah, no, I got to say, looking at Sally B over the years, I've always thought of him as a character, like a fully functional character in Star Wars. Yeah. I might not be 100% accurate. I understand it. Quacking Monkey Lizards are a thing. But Sally B, he's a character, man.
Yeah, got a name and everything. Obviously, you know, Volptex and a Porg can have a name, and they should, and they will when they're our pets. But But yeah, and like there's something, a Quacky and Monkey Lizard, there seems like there is something, you know, obviously we know Salacious B. Crumb's personality, according to that trailer for Mando, we're going to get to see a whole tree of them, and they all look like they are about to just rain mischievous hell on whoever's looking at them, right?
Absolutely.
So there's something about, like, I had this good friend, still friends with him, but in particular in my 20s, and we almost became roommates, and he was like one of my buddies that we had many great conversations, many real conversations, helped each other through things, but also we called one another when it was time to go to the bar and be loud and have fun. And we almost became roommates at one point. And sometimes I think, like, man, I would have got nothing done. It would have just been always fun, always a little chaotic. And when I think of a Quack and Monkey Lizard, I'd be like, that would have been like moving in with that friend when I was 26.
That's amazing. You've had a great chihuahua in your life. I have two in my life now. A Quacky Monkey Lizard is the closest to having a chihuahua that I can think of.
A lot of personality, a lot of potential chaos. Yeah.
A lot of biting and chewing. Yeah.
A lot of biting and chewing. You have maybe changed my mind about porks, because I was thinking about all the dealing with the pork poo, right? Because I think porks, it would be hard if they were in your home to convince them not to just be like, doo 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 doo, I'm flying over here and I let it go. That's a gift of being a bird. Right? But you're convincing me that they could be trained.
I really think so, man. They take over the Falcon in their own way. No doubts about that. But you and I always say that porg scream, that cheer, that is a porg in the fight. It knows what's going on.
Yep. That porg knows that they are in a battle for freedom for sure. I love the roar of the porg there. So I would at least want to have like a porg that I could put food out on my little balcony and they visit.
That's good.
But all of this leads me to ultimately agreeing with Ray's choice that I think a Tuca cat would be my choice. My wife Sarah also loves the Tuca cat. So I think I would love to have a cat in my life. I think the Tuca cat is definitely the kind of cat that is would have their own opinions in their own way and would come up and nuzzle when they wanted and otherwise would do their own thing.
Yes. Yes. Live independently.
Live independently, right? any other thoughts on your choice of pet from the Star Wars galaxy?
This is a great question, Ray. And look, Porg Nation is still strong. Don't let anyone tell you differently. The Porgs are still very beloved in my house and in many parts of the Star Wars fandom.
Absolutely. Here's my last, maybe not great thought, but it would be a good way to vent. It's not entirely nice, but if one could train a porg when to poo and when not to poo, it would be pretty amazing to just, like, you know, see somebody being a really rude and bad driver and say, hey, porg friend, go get their car.
Go get them. Strike them down.
Go do a little bit of artwork on their car there, porg. That would be great.
That's great.
All right. Thank you for the very, very fun question. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Cues of the Force.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we are back to continue taking some great listener questions, listener topics. We are going to some Star Wars questions from patrons on Patreon. We go first to Justin Jacobson. Justin says, why do you think Palpatine didn't control both sides of the Empire-Rebellion conflict like he did with the Republic and Separatists in the Clone Wars? It seems like an easy way to keep tabs on who is against him, what they're up to, and what kind of equipment they have access to. It worked to put him on the throne. It seems odd he wouldn't keep doing what worked. This is a really fun question because it gets us into the differences between the Clone Wars and the Galactic Civil War. It gets us into the headspace of old Sheev Palpatine. So, Ken, where do you go with this one to begin?
Man, this is awesome. Justin, you've got a great question, great thought starter here. And look, it does seem odd because I do think he tried. That's my short answer. We'll get into that here. Justin, you've pitched a wonderful anti-Andor series run alongside the Andor series. I believe the Rebellion represents a break in the chain for Palpatine, something he might have maybe anticipated it, but also couldn't stop, or quite frankly, something that he thought was so far from the realms of possibility that he couldn't stop it at this point, you know, because unlimited power, he reached that, he achieved that. He's got so many of his minions, the systems in place to do what it needs to do. And we're seeing examples of that. And, or we see it in Solo, we see it in Rogue One, see it in so many Bad Batch, so many areas of storytelling, the oppression's in place, and he's high above and he's searching the unknown regions. He's trying to find a way to never die. So maybe that's part of it too. But again, I just think, as we saw with Palpatine along the way, especially we always go to, you and I go to Padme moments where he's like, well, I didn't account for that. Her spirit took her there. Her fight, things that he doesn't think would get him. And I think that's a starting spot for me. The difference between what was going on before, he orchestrated something to put him in power, and now in power, he feels he'll never lose it.
Yeah, no, I really, really agree with that. I think a couple key things for me is just looking at the Clone Wars. We've definitely got some great separatist storytelling. I think we'll get even more. The way I interpret the bits of storytelling we have is that there was legitimate disagreement with some of the things that the Republic was doing, partially due to Palpatine and people like him grinding up the gears, giving lots of political power to corporations. making the Republic not work as well as it used to. And so people with different opinions grow. But then Dooku's mission as a Sith Lord is to stir that up. And there's that question of, without the Sith involvement, would that have become an armed conflict, right? Mm-hmm. We get the story from the crawl of Attack of the Clones that there are already separatist attacks, and that's what's making the Republic think maybe we do need to vote on this army. Padme and Bail want to vote against it. But to me, the story is that entire conflict can be traced back to the Sith Lords, at the very least, rising to the level of armed, actual all-out war that is entirely beginning in middle and end created by Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the contrast to that is, you know, this wonderful question from Justin starts with just the straightforward question of, why do you think Palpatine didn't control both sides of Empire Rebellion? And I think the answer is because he couldn't, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the point of the rebellion, is Palpatine thinks he won, right?
Yeah.
He thinks he can now control everything. And no matter how hard he tries, he can't. That's what the rebellion is saying, is like, you can't control everything. You can't. You've tried and you've done a great job of boxing us in and limiting our resources. But you can't control everything. And we're here to prove it. You know, they're the antithesis of his ability to control everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The point, the spirituality, the spiritual nature, I should say, this, the heart of the rebellion.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then I think we've got some interesting seeds of storytelling. There might be even some more details. We've read so many stories, and Ken, over these last few years. I do think they're like the seeds of this story that I think at some points Palpatine was probably like, hey, I agree with Justin Jacobson. Palpatine says to himself, I should control both sides. You know, in Rogue One, I love Saw Gerrera's paranoia, right?
Yes.
Of exactly this, that Palpatine is trying to insert spies into the rebellion and is trying to fracture it and control it. And maybe if Palpatine did, you know, get rid of Saw, get rid of Mon Mothma, you know, get rid of Jando Donna, get rid of Leia, and, you know, place in his own figureheads, maybe he could have made the rebellion valuable to him in some way, you know? And that's what that paranoia that Saw has going on. You know, and I'd love to see a more detailed story of that where Palpatine is like, yeah, no, I can do it. I can. This rebellion's risen up against me. It's weak and I'll crush it eventually. But first, I'll break it down from the inside. And he clearly doesn't succeed in that. That's part of what Rogue One is, right? The danger of the alliance coming apart, and it doesn't.
Yeah, no, this is great stuff. I'm trying to remember if there's any specific examples. I can't pull them either in my brain, but Tivik, let's not forget, one of the reasons he's kind of, you know, and we know what ends up happening to him with his broken arm. He can't climb out. And so Cassian's got to do what he's got to do. But like he's saying, you know, spies everywhere. There's spies everywhere. Even Willie, this character Willie in Andor, flying in town with Luthen. He's kind of like, yeah, you got to be careful who you talk to these days. Like it's kind of the thing that's going on, and I it's not lost on me that could mean that there was attempts along the way to do this here. So I'm drawn in by that potential storytelling. This is very real. Go into the real world. One of my former bosses had a long career in the LAPD, and he was in the LAPD in the 60s. I mean, early 60s, in the late 60s when he was starting out. And one of his assignments was to infiltrate the hippies, which, yes. Some of the stories, and he showed me some pictures too. Some of the story, it deserves to be a Netflix dark comedy. Oh. I mean, because it's there's, you know, a serious nature to it. But I mean, he showed me the picture, and like, sweetheart of an older boss of mine, but you could just tell it wasn't going to work. It was Buscemi going, "Hello, fellow kids." Like it was so comical. And so I think of that in terms of Palpatine, or, you know, someone, maybe it's not even from Palpatine's orders, but someone in the Empire would be like, there's pockets of fomenting out there. We got to go foment. We got to go with them. And it just couldn't work to me. And to throw it to another pop culture example, Young Guns. Yes. One of the greatest movies of all time. Jay McCloskey is sent to infiltrate the Regulators, and that don't work. Because he doesn't have the heart, right? It's not, it shows. He doesn't have the, so the characters in this story that Justin and we are putting together here, we're co-creating this one. They just wouldn't have the hearts of rebels, and it would show, and it would get, they'd get caught. It just wouldn't work.
Oh man, that I'm sure that is a dark and fascinating story of infiltrating the hippies. I so thought of the, how do you do fellow Janis Joplin fans? Like, it's, yeah,
it's everything that you think it is. It's everything that you think it is, these pictures. And it would just be hilarious. Hello, fellow rebels. Are we rebelling today?
Yeah, but it really does get into that, like that idea of what is genuine, right? Like a lot of what the Empire is working on is fear, paranoia, propaganda, right? The utter stiffness and lack of authenticity, like we're even seeing from some of the baddies in Andor. Cyril Karn, right? He can't have a sincere interaction, even with his own troops, right? There's that lack of sincerity, right? And you got to think like that Mothma and hyper-intuitive Leia can tell who's real, who's here for real, and who is just like, how do you do, fellow disenfranchised galactic citizens? Yeah, like,
yes.
You could sense it, right?
And you know, we're having some fun. I mean, to laugh at some of the serious nature of this stuff, especially in our real world. But yeah, but even go to the Young Guns examples, the Lincoln County War, it's Tunstall and McSween versus the Murphy Dolan gang. And so the Murphy Dolan gang sends this guy in and you buy it. Everyone, Billy the Kid, and I'm not saying Billy's a hero or a clean cut hero at all, but it's a fascinating scene because it's like, you know, I remember being like, no, he's good. How do you trust him? Oh yeah, no, you can't. And it shows, it just shows. And there's some humor in Palpatine and his minions being like, no, we're so good at this. We'll infiltrate them. And they can't because it ain't in your heart, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's fascinating. But I apologize if there is a kind of a bigger story somewhere that I am forgetting. Yeah. But I would love to see like more of, you know, Palpatine sending an ISB officer undercover to infiltrate a cell. And, you know, maybe they succeed in breaking up a specific cell or that kind of thing. It'd be an interesting story. I think my final thought on this is one of the things that I really love about the arc of Palpatine is, you know, the wanting to kind of be able to take the mask off. And he can a little bit by the time he calls it an empire, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit of taking the mask off. But then once the Death Star is built, wipe out the Senate. Take the mask off a little bit more. And by the time you get to Rise of Skywalker, he's just broadcasting the entire galaxy. I am a Sith. Yeah. Within that growth of him wanting to be fully, you know, revealing himself, these different conflicts have different impacts and the Clone Wars benefited him, right? Yeah. I think that the rebellion slows him down, right? He can't broadcast it too much because it makes him look weak, right?
Yes.
And it distracts him. Like you were saying, this is, you know, some great storytelling that is, you know, embedded in a book here, a comic book there, you know, implied by Rise of Skywalker that it distracts him from his goals of expansion. He wants to be like, great. I'm the empire of everything known. Now I want to explore more of the dark side secrets. I want to figure out how to live forever. I know there's something else out there in the unknown regions even more, and I want to conquer that, and I want to find more and more realities and galaxies to conquer. But there's this little piddling, annoying rebellion and a couple Jedi's Jedi hanging on, and I'll wipe them out. I'll wipe them out. They're nothing, right? I just don't think he ever kind of gives them the credit for what they are.
100%. I really believe that. Absolutely. Even to the point where, you know, they destroy the first Death Star. Let's build another one, make it bigger. I think that tracks what the spirit of whatever that's going around.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I think Luke is right. His overconfidence is his weakness is the my answer to Justin's question. And then at the end of the day, when he does see that the rebellion is maybe even a little bit of a threat, he has to approach it a different way because he can't control them. If he succeeded, a second rebellion, rebelling against the rebellion he took over, would be born.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Great question. Thank you very much, Justin. We learned a lot about Star Wars and real life infiltration attempts. We are going to move on to our final question. This comes to us from Bruno Carrillo. Thank you, Bruno, for sending the pronunciation. I hope I got close. Bruno says, hi, Joseph, Ken, and Jennifer. Greetings from Zurich, Switzerland. I am very curious to know what you consider to be the craziest thing you ever did for Star Wars. I know it's quite a broad question, but it occurred to me in the context of the 20th anniversary celebrations of Attack of the Clones. Back in May 2002, when I was 28 years old, I traveled from my native Brazil, where I lived at the time, to Miami to watch the movie in theaters during the opening weekend. The reason I took the quite drastic decision to catch an 8-hour flight to do so is that the movie would premiere in Brazil 1 month later. This same time lapse happened 3 years before, so I watched episode one pretty much spoiled in Rio de Janeiro. After all, the internet was already around and people in general were less careful giving and receiving spoilers, not to mention the soundtrack debacle. Of course, I didn't want a repeat of that trauma, so I spent 4 days in Miami, watched the movie 3 times, and filled 2 bags with action figures before heading back home, where, of course, I watched Attack of the Clones 5 more times with friends and family, including at the local premiere. I still affectionately refer to this 2002 adventure as the Miami Extravaganza. Thank you so much for the podcast. It's the best one around, and hope to see you in London next April for celebration. We hope to see you well as well, Bruno. This is phenomenal. This is a great story. Ken, any reactions just to this story?
Well, Bruno, you know, none of this is crazy. To kind of quote John Lennon from Magical Mystery Tour, it's the trip of a lifetime. This is amazing. We are blessed to just have, Star Wars playing a month earlier than you, and we take it for granted. You proved that the love of Star Wars is not crazy. It's in your heart, and it drives you to do wonderful, powerful things. What an experience.
Yeah.
I applaud that.
Yeah, this is just so great. It is so so much more exciting than my viewings of Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. It is so fantastic, but the spirit of love and excitement for that film is so relatable to me. I've been enjoying the 20-year anniversary and just celebrating that movie that I really like, have such fond memories of the year 2002. It was a really great and interesting year in my life. The image of packing as many bags as possible with action figures, that resonates with me too. So this is one of those great stories where this is far more exciting in the actual details, but the spirit of it, the heart of it is so relatable to me. So thank you, Bruno. Absolutely love it. Let's get to the question then that motivated this wonderful story about kind of the wildest things that you have done for Star Wars.
I try to dig deep. I'll tell you, I try to say what haven't I talked about on Force Center before, but we've been broadcasting so long, Joseph, I think we've shared most of our stories, but a lot of new people popping on here. Thanks to some like Kenobi reviews, the Andor reviews. So I still think the craziest thing I did, cause it could have cost me, is getting heat exhaustion while waiting for Phantom Menace tickets. And this is the spring of 99 now. And me by myself waiting, I think it was buying about 6 tickets for the first showing. I think there's a 10 a.m. show. And I got the tickets now. I found the tickets a couple of months ago in my Phantom Menace novel. What a joy. What a find. Mm-hmm. And it was for me and my friends. And I went by myself. And I was working the security job at the time. And it was at the Winnetka Theaters, the Pacific Theaters 20. It was a big theater in the area at the time. Ooh, it was the top of the line one. And it was a block over from my work. So I got off at 3 a.m., rushed over, put a jacket, hoodie over my uniform. No sense, still young and dumb in L.A. on my own. No sense to buy food or water at 7-Eleven or an AMPM on the way over. Just rushed over, sat on concrete with strangers, listening to them predict what was going to be in the movie. I just sat quietly. And then the sun comes up on the San Fernando Valley. And man, I was burnt to a crisp. I was seeing things. And my roommates showed up to not wait in line with me, but to give me Gatorade and a donut, which I don't think helped. I think counteracted the hydration I was receiving. And then I bought the tickets for them. And we all went. And I should have said, could someone take my place? Send me home. Different times. This is also why I have no problem, despite some frustrations with it, of waiting in a digital queue for tickets or movie tickets or anything like that. But at the same time, it was fun. At the same time, clearly it's something I remember for what I can, what was not fuzzy and hazy and like some sort of hallucination. But I look back and go, I don't know. Star Wars costing your health. Be careful.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is great. And, you know, it's sometimes fun to like put human attitudes on the sun, right? Like,
yes.
if the sun is like a predator, like hungry to burn foolish humans, right? The sun baking down on the San Fernando Valley going, ah, nerds are waiting outside for Star Wars. Young, foolish ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
A meal. That's a great image. Gatorade and a donut. That's what you need to keep going. Yeah. Right.
I'll never. Joel, Casey, thank you. But also why?
The story of many of our youth. Thank you. But why?
Why?
Yeah. I was trying to think through some of the adventures that I've had. There was one close call that I really wish I did. When I was performing on Jonathan Colton's Joko Cruise in the early years of that entertainment genre, nerd music comedy floating festival, there was one stop. I can't remember which island it was. I think it was Grand Cayman Island. And this was when Phantom Menace was out in 3D. And we were on this, you know, amazing, beautiful island. And I was like, you know what? Everybody on the boat is just going to be shocked if I get back from this excursion and they're like, did you go snorkeling? Did you do this? I'm like, I saw the Phantom Menace in 3D. But there was some sort of crime scene, so I couldn't. So that was almost the most exciting. I guess if I tried to cross the, you know, crime tape in a country I'm not from.
Not good.
Yeah, yeah. I've told the story before, too, of being on tour when the Force Awakens figures came out and stopping at a hotel right across from Toys R Us. And I had a choice between shower and getting an action figure in. I got Kylo Ren. Yeah, not clean. But the one I wanted to share, I think I have talked about it before, but a lot of these stories are about what would you do to, you know, to watch Star Wars, to get Star Wars. And this is one that was just sort of like, in retrospect, a lot of physical danger just because I liked Star Wars, right? And this is in 2002. Attack of the Clones comes out. You know, obviously there's a lot of criticisms. I agreed with some of the criticisms. I made some jokes about Anakin's less than smooth transitions to confessing his attraction to Padme. I made all those jokes, but I just was in love with this this movie, maybe even more than I even, you know, vocalized or let myself understand how much I deeply loved this movie and just wanted to celebrate it. And it was it's a really busy summer. I had a ton going on, but at the time, friends did these really wild performances at the Masquerade at the local convention that I still go to, Convergence in Minneapolis. And, you know, the Masquerades, a lot of times the entries are just, you made an amazing costume and you come out and you do some voguing, or maybe there's a line of dialogue piped in and you say it, like, you know, and my friends were obsessed with, like, no, the Masquerade has to be like a fully choreographed 5-minute scene with the audio going, and you have to mime exactly the words correctly and build the sets. And they had done this elaborate recreation of a fight scene in The Matrix a couple of years before with like the trick sets. So like when Neo punched, you know, the column, they had it rigged for somebody else off stage, like pull a lever and the part of it exploded. And like, it was that sort of like, we're going to make this bigger than it should be for the audacity of it, right?
Right. Yeah.
And a part of their shtick was they had an inflatable T-Rex, and they cast the inflatable T-Rex as a character from the scene they were trying to recreate. So the Yoda Dooku fight happens. They want to cast their inflatable dinosaur, you know, that's controlled by somebody wearing all black behind them as Yoda, and they want him to fight Dooku, and they're like, but the scale doesn't work. The dinosaur is pretty tall. So my friend comes to me and he's like, I know you got a busy summer, you don't have that much rehearsal time, but we'd have to rehearse. We want you to play the top half of Dooku. You'll ride on my shoulders we'll build a Dooku cloak that, you know, starts on your shoulders and then gets really big to cover my entire body. And then have a lightsaber fight with an inflatable T-Rex. Retrospect, it was so dangerous because we did this on a little stage, a little wobbly convention stage. I don't think that the lower half of Dooku, my friend Dooku, the lower half, I don't think he could see. But he was doing the footwork and like turns and all this stuff. And, you know, yeah, it was a great experience. The performance went off well. It was a ton of fun to get to be Dooku and, you know, try to get the timing exactly right. Still, when I watch Attack of the Clones, I'm like, yep, the lightning goes before he finishes the line. Right. That was a great experience. And just in retrospect, a deep physical risk to my own body just because I love that movie.
See, this is Bruno, this is a great question. This is what you do for Star Wars. You risk your life on the shoulders of a friend or buying tickets for friends in the hot San Fernando sun. This is what it is.
Yep. You defy the sun. You defy gravity. All in love of Star Wars. That is such a great story and such a great question. Thank you so much, Bruno. Thank you also to Justin, Ray, and Flalilis. Those are our questions. We want to keep letting you know that if you want to submit a Power of the Light Side segment, you certainly can. This is just a segment where we ask people to share something they love about Star Wars. If you're a patron on Patreon, we have a post putting out a call for those. So if you'd like to submit one, you are certainly welcome to. But with that, Ken, I think that is about it. So you want to let people know where they can find us.
Always fun to answer your questions. You can reach out to us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Live Q&A coming up here at the end of the month. Subscribe so you don't miss it. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Follow me at Ken Knapsack. Go to my website, kennapsack.com. Can finally put, I think, all the dates down. Going to be on the road doing some comedy with Mark Ellis as he prepares for his next one-hour comedy special taping, which is December 3rd in L.A. But before that, we're going to be heading to New York City, October 6th and 7th. We'll be in La Jolla at the Comedy Store down there, 14th through 16th, and up in Seattle at the Crocodile, great club up there, on the 28th of October. So information on my website, and that's just now. Could be more. We'll see. So follow us there and see some comedy. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can find links to all my other comedy adventures on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. In particular, if you're in Portland, Oregon, and you like cosmic horror, I will be attending the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival. I have a short film in the festival. I'll also be doing some comedy bits there as well, not a straightforward stand-up set or anything like that, but some other fun surprises coming once that whole schedule gets officially published. I'll put it out on my social media. Also, the other thing I'm promoting here is that I would love to get some more subscribers on YouTube and some more views so that I can get it back to being monetized. I've got some more stuff coming. I've got some stuff in particular coming soon that I think will be of interest to Force Center fans. Mm-hmm. Trying to get better about teasing and hype. So keep your eyes out on YouTube, Force Center listeners, for something I think you in particular will enjoy. That is it for now. For myself, for Ken, for the Tuca Cat and Porg that are soon going to be living in our homes, this has been Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.